Hey there, Pounders. This is J.R. Wilco with this week's Unnecessary Foolishness. It's episode 16 of the Superfluous Poppycock podcast. We have been away for 2 weeks. I went on vacation up through the wonderful land of Arkansas and Missouri, where, to much to my dismay and surprise, it was even more humid than my early stomping grounds of Houston. I live in Austin now, and I have not experienced humidity like that in quite a long time. It was gorgeous, but when it was hot, it was hot, and when it wasn't hot, it was ridiculously, annoyingly, putridly humid. But we still had a great time with the family. Did a diamond mine and a family reunion. But we are back now, and Seth, it's been 2 weeks. How are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. All I heard was blah, blah, blah. Tim Duncan is still retired.
Oh, my
goodness.
That's
all I heard.
You know, you've got an interesting filter there, and I'm not sure we can take another full podcast of Tim Duncan's retired. So we might have to just kind of skip.
No, you're right. It's fair. It's totally fair. I'm just still rattled with grief and still dealing with that. But we don't need to revisit that. Obviously, Tim Duncan not mourning as much as we are, while instead spending his free time at Old Navy, according to recent news stories. And I don't know if that was a current picture or not. I mean, obviously, there's reports out there that the picture was not current. But regardless, he is clearly enjoying his retirement, and we wish him well in his
retirement. He's obviously enjoying his retirement. Whether or not he's spending his time at Old Navy appearing to, I don't know, text Kawhi Leonard about the great deal that they've got, like maybe 2-for-1 on cargo shorts. But
Kawhi, you've got to get down here. I'm on my way.
I'm already in my car.
I'm in the parking lot.
That's fantastic. I love it. But yeah, it's not like they can wear any of the clothes that are there, right? But they can buy their kids clothes. You know, Kawhi's got a son or a child coming along here soon.
Jimmy could buy short pants.
Okay.
But we digress.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and what should we do on a podcast called Superfluous Poppycock but digress from time to time? But we've actually got news to discuss. We've got just a few hours old here. The Spurs signed David Lee to a 2-year contract with essentially right at the veterans minimum with a player option for the second year. And what do you think?
I like it. You know, you're not going to – losing David West to cowardice and to the evil empire and to betrayal is
I thought you were going to say the Warriors and you said cowardice. I was thinking the Golden State cowardice doesn't have quite the ring to it that the NBA would. No.
So
you lost him. We lost him to the Warriors, but you say we lost him to cowardice. Okay.
I just don't. Hey, yeah, and people are going to get mad at me saying that because, you know, he's chasing a ring, and more power to him for chasing a ring. Build that legacy, Dave. But regardless, we got another Dave in David Lee.
Didn't
and I've
we?
Always liked David Lee. He's in the same class, kind of, you know, kind of the big name, you know, the B actor that David West was. But I like David Lee because he's always, you know, I've always kind of had my eye on him. He's always had a great motor, much to the chagrin of his fans. Over the last couple of years, that motor has led to some injuries that have kind of derailed his career a little bit. But he's a hustle guy. He's a guy that dives after loose balls. He's a banger. He's a guy that's not afraid to get in the paint. He's not going to bring you the consistent consistent David West style of outside shot, and I say that loosely because of what we saw in the playoffs, but he's not going to bring you that 18-footer consistently like on paper a David West would, but he's going to be able to get into the post, and he's going to be able to get into the paint, and you know, I think that's something that we need because we've got a guy in LaMarcus that can still supply us that reliable outside jumper. We need a guy who can mix it up and who can be a Draymond style of small forward, or not small forward, small post player or small forward or small power forward, if you will, to get in there to bring other teams out a little ways, but to yet to maintain that physical presence. So I really like the signing. I'm happy about that. The only thing that I'm concerned about is that it is said and he really kind of has acknowledged in the media that he spent the Warriors and David Lee won a title. He helped. After that title run, he helped, you know, kind of them shed some salary space. And plus, Draymond was really coming on strong with David Lee's hamstring injury. He was sent to Boston after that summer of the title in Golden State. It was kind of a salary dump move. And Lee has since publicly acknowledged that he spent his time with the Celtics, truthfully, getting in shape after celebrating the Warriors' title run well into the offseason. That component concerns me a little bit. He's going to have to bring a little bit more discipline to San Antonio, but he's never been a guy who strikes me as a guy that is unwilling to bring discipline. I think he's a guy that can fit our system very well.
So he's quite the rebounder for yes. A guy built the way he is. This is the thing that really a lot of Spurs fans felt like killed us against the Thunder was the fact that they couldn't grab a rebounder. He's a good defensive rebounder as well.
Right.
If his hip is sound now, if he's whole, then I'm not crazy excited about him at first as soon as I see his name. And then I think, oh, but you know, it's not like he's going to be starting. Wow. I mean,
yeah.
Think a few years back, this is, you know, July signing, you know, we were talking about Jeff Pendergraft, Jeff Ayers.
Right.
And we're not talking about that anymore. We're talking about David Lee, which, yes, he's a name. I don't put a whole lot of stock in names. I don't care about the name so much as what you get from the player. But definitely the Spurs were going to be lacking in someone to set picks and roll in a competent manner to the rim for Monty right. to be able to drop passes off onto, and he can definitely do that.
No, he can. He's a great pick and roll player, and that's something that we clearly need, and I think it's going to be an asset. I think we're going to be more pleased with David Lee than we were with David West.
Well, he's not going to offer anything near the mid-range and deep shooting. I mean, he just doesn't shoot threes. He flat out does not shoot threes.
Neither did David West. I mean, we really didn't get a lot of that from David West. We got the 18-footer, and that's all we got from David West. So, and I'm not trying to throw David under the bus, you know, West at this point, but let's keep things realistic. We're not, you know, bringing David Lee in to replace what we had in David West. If it's the, now granted, we're going to have to clean the Mavericks stank off of him for the first, you know, couple of weeks of the season. But
hopefully they'll be able to take care of that in training camp and preseason.
Yes.
So there isn't any.
Delouse him a little bit. But no, assuming we get what we know of David Lee, of course we assume that with David West, but assuming we get what we know of David Lee, I'm fairly confident he'll be a better addition than David West was even last summer. The glory of David West last summer was not so much what he could bring as much as what we were paying to get him to even
what you
get
mean,
a
like
warm,
essentially nil.
Yeah, to get a warm body and a guy that was, you know, like I always say, a guy that was good at being tall, and to pay as little as we did for David West, that was really the news of the signing. I mean, secondary to that he was a veteran player who had proven himself.
Well, you got an 11-year vet in David Lee, essentially 5 years in with the Knicks, 5 years in Golden State, and then last year split between the Celtics and the Mavericks. And when the guy's healthy, he can still play 32.
Right.
But he's also somewhat good at being tall. 6'9", 245 is nothing to sneeze at. I guess he's 33 now.
I think he's 33, and he's ripped. He's got a body, so he can really body up a lot of these teams we're playing right now. So I think he's going to be good. I feel good about the signing. It could have been worse.
When you talk about adding a guy to the bench, he's definitely not starting, but he could start in, you know, if anybody needs to take a game or two off, or if God forbid there are any injuries.
Right? Absolutely.
I mean, like, he can step in there and be a spot starter. I'm satisfied. I'm gonna call myself satisfied. How about that?
I think we're gonna get what we got from David West in David Lee, except we're also gonna get a guy who can body up in the post. So I think I really am optimistic about this, and I really think it's a good signing. I like the way we're coming together.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And speaking of coming together, we've got the changes from the roster to get to. But first, we're gonna have to talk about the biggest news, the rumors, the talks that went on since our last podcast, specifically surrounding the semi-confirmed rumors that that the Thunder had made overtures to Pat Pho, to the Spurs front office, and said, "Man, thinking about Westbrook. You guys want him for, I don't know, Kawhi Leonard."
What was my response when you texted that to me? What exactly did I text in response?
Your text was exactly what I thought when I first saw it, which was.
Yes, I believe that was my specific response.
That was, and you did a very good job of the way that you typed that in, of letting me know that was exactly the kind of laugh that you were.
You gotta love Presti swinging for the moon. That is simply, you know, you almost can't think bad of him. You got to respect the fact that he swung for the fences.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he's still got a little San Antonio in him, so he was trying to set the value for Russ, because he knows that the only way that they don't trade Russ is if Russ signs an extension this summer.
Otherwise, not going to sign an extension. We've talked about that. There's no way that kid signed an extension.
I know what you're saying, but that's what Oklahoma City has to try to do, because they either get him this summer and lock him up and keep him in franchise, you know, he's the franchise,
right,
or they lose him a year from now, or somewhere in between there, they get like 60 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
And so the best thing for them is before somebody, you know, talk smack in the press, or before someone, you know, releases some information, or before Russell pulls a Carmelo Anthony and essentially says, "I want to go to this team," publicly, and handcuffs the entire team. You know, before any of that stuff potentially happens, to get in there with an actual deal, and you know, you gotta ask, right?
You sure? Yeah, he has the same answer today than he had the day before he asked. So I can respect I can respect that. I think when you're dealing with a player mercurial like Russ, and in the position that they're in, it's kind of like a dwindling value. By the day, the trade value that he has goes down. They're not going to get dollar for dollar for him. And they'd be best served to move him as soon as possible. If they move him quickly, obviously we'd love to see him in San Antonio just from a talent perspective. And I think that bears some more conversation, because you and I have talked about Russ Westbrook for years, and we've vacillated on both sides of this kid and both sides of the issue. And it's romantic to think of, I don't even want to say a big three, a super team, a second super team in the NBA that would consist of LaMarcus Aldridge, Pau Gasol, Kawhi Leonard, and Russell Westbrook. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. It causes drooling. It causes all kinds of slobbering. But there's so much more to that. And I don't think one person out there in our Spurs family can truly make the argument that Russell Westbrook is Spurs material. He can put points up, and he's exciting to watch. But I don't know that he's really your typical Spur. Like
He doesn't come off like a Spur at all. And I got to tell you, if we were having this conversation 3-4 years ago, when I was in the deepest throes of my anti Westbrook ravings, I just had no interest at all. And I guess this was leading into the 2014 playoff series against Oklahoma City, so the West Conference Finals, and I just saw you know, little to nothing good in him, and I kind of overstated my case with someone, and as a result, I really watched him in that series, and I was like, man, what's if you just look at the basketball, what's not to like?
Right.
Maybe not enough assists. And what did he do? Go out there in the 2015-2016 season, but he went out there and got close. Well, I mean, led the league in triple doubles and was a threat to put up double digit assists every single night. Now, did it turn into hero ball at the end of games too often? Yes, but Oklahoma City has no system to lean back on. Now, is that a coaching problem? Is that a clubhouse problem? Is it a superstar problem? Is it a way that the players interact with the coach? I can't say. All I know is that, well, all I believe is that if the Spurs and Westbrook's camp ever talk, there's only going to be one way that Westbrook decides to come to the Spurs, and that is why, yes, I will absolutely pull a LaMarcus Aldridge and be ready to do whatever you tell me, Sir Popovich, and I will be happy to play whatever role and learn the way that, you know, and learn the ways and learn the Spurs system. That's the only way I see him coming to San Antonio. But then you've got the rest of it around there too, which is I'm not a fan of the sneering, of the growling, the snarling, and all the, you know, the chest pounding, and just the. It just seems like a dark attitude that kind of hovers around him when he's on the court. Now, some guys need that in order to really be competitive. Randy Johnson was a guy. Well, I'm throwing the baseball references in here, but Randy Johnson was a guy like no one ever talked to him. He was always so angry all the time, and that was just the way that he handled his business. I gotta say that I would expect that there was probably a conversation around there. I mean, you can see guys come to the Spurs and carry themselves a little differently. I remember Jonathan Simmons had a dunk, his first dunk in the NBA, and he landed and kind of spun around, and that was pretty much the last time that happened, right? I mean, you could definitely tell somebody's talking to him about how to carry himself in San Antonio. So I would expect some of that as well, but everything that I've researched, and again, I told you I kind of overstated my case with on Russ, and it made me kind of dig in, and everything I know about him from the work that he does in the community to the guy he is off the court is completely across the board 5 stars, grade A material. He doesn't just do his community work with the kids, and whether it's Boys and Girls Club or the equivalent of that in Oklahoma City or whatever, he organizes it. He just doesn't have his people set those things up and show up and then leave. He lobbies his own players to go as he puts this thing together, and he owns it. And I saw some video of him talking about it, fairly eloquently talking about the work that they did and how excited he was to do it, and how much it helps the people that are, you know, the beneficiaries of the charity. And I was like, wow, that doesn't sound like a guy who's just, well, it I'll tell you this much. It was not a guy that was just showing up in order to put a check in the box of, well, now I've done my charity for this season. And I've got I had my photo op. This was a guy who was owning that experience for these people and enjoying it on their account. So I don't see the problems that people say that he's got, like personality or character defects. No,
it's
there's
strange
a persona.
Because,
there's a persona that we don't like.
But that persona is, you hit the nail on the head. That persona that we see or perceive on the court doesn't seem to be backed up by anything behind the scenes, any sources within the organization, any, you know, anything like that. It just, it does. And I think it's probably a lot of the way he looks, he carries himself. It's the Ray Allen sneer. I've heard so much good about
it. Oh, it's worse than it is, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I just despised Ray Allen so much because of that
sneer.
Gotta
throw it in there.
But he's another guy that, you know, you heard so much good about, regardless of how he looked and how he played and all of that kind of stuff. So I think there's probably a lot more to the story that we don't know. There's, you know, I still question to this day, and I feel somewhat justified in questioning after, you know, Durant bailing on OKC. I wonder if Russ really was the cause of the majority of the problems. I tend to wonder maybe it was on the poster child. Maybe it was on the angelic Kevin Durant that added so much dysfunction and not, you know, Russ, because Russ was so easy to blame for a lot of that with the sneers. But neither here nor there. I don't know that he would fit well within our system, but I think if you have a chance for a guy like that, you got to go for it. The problem for San Antonio –
There's not much of a chance for that with their roster and the amount of money that they've got out.
There's a chance, but you got to give up too much. Even if they back away from Kawhi, I don't see it any other way but getting rid of Tony and Danny. And I just don't know that that's, especially getting rid of Danny at this point in his career. And all of it hinges on Russ obviously signing a longer-term deal, which
Danny's on such a gorgeous contract. There's so much value in that for what he gives us and how much he's asked and how much he's actually getting paid. It's just it's the longest of long shots, and so I agree with you.
It would be beautiful to see, but it really would be a stick it to KD move. That's all it would be, because it's widely understood Russ wants to be back in California, and if he signed a deal with San Antonio. I just don't see him signing a longer-term deal in San Antonio when he could sign one in L.A. I just, you know, he could sign one easily this next year, assuming that the Thunder don't panic and move him, which I don't know that it would be panicking. I think it'd be a smart business move.
But even if they do, there's no guarantee that he'll stay wherever he'd go.
Right? I think he's, and I don't know that he's directly indicated this, but I think he's virtually indicated that he would sign a longer-term deal in California. So I think that would be his final resting spot.
Yeah. So you'd really want him then in Sacramento, then I guess.
Yeah. I think, you know, what I see is more likely is that the Clippers make a big run. They move Chris Paul in the offseason. Chris Paul, you know, flutters away to join LeBron and D-Wade and maybe even Melo. And they form this super team that they've all been kind of passive-aggressively threatening for years. But unfortunately, it's not so much a super team anymore for most of those guys.
Not with D-Wade.
Well, not with D-Wade. And then they fill that slot in Los Angeles with Russ. I don't know. I'd love to see him in San Antonio. I don't want to see Danny and don't want to see – we would never trade Tony. And I think right now you've got to trade Tony to make it work. And I just don't see that happening. I'm comfortable not being on top of the mountain but not sacrificing – the loyalty, the devotion, the history, the connection that Tony has within our franchise.
Yeah, I just see it as a non-starter. From the salary cap level, Jesus Gomez did a great post on it. You know, it would be a super team situation. It's just the longest of long shots. But that said, there was so much talk about it and so much discussion.
I'd
commented enough on that story, and people had even reached out to me on email to ask me to even clarify my points further. So I just did that. There we go.
Well, I think it was. I think the bottom line is a lot of the Spurs talk was a smokescreen. If you're Presti, you've got to ask San Antonio, and you have that connection to the Spurs. And obviously, there's enough of a desire, I think, with Russ's camp to stick it to KD, or at least attempt to by going to San Antonio. But I think really, and I don't even know if I feel comfortable saying dark horse, because I think they're clearly not a dark horse. They're a loud horse, so to speak. But Boston is really the team that anybody is going to have to contend with right now. They've stockpiled so many picks, so many up-and-coming talents, so many assets. They've got such a good package right now that anybody out there is Boston's the team that the Thunder need to be dealing with directly on this Russ situation.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt at all. Well, I guess we can close the door on Russ then until – rumors start flying around in about 11 months.
I think sooner than that. Yeah. They're going to have to do something. I guarantee you, they're going to propose to him before the end of the summer. Look, you've got to re-up. You've got to sign a longer-term deal. he's going to shoot that down. It's going to take a matter of a couple of weeks. I'll get back to you guys. But then he's eventually going to shoot that down. When he does shoot that down, Presti is smart enough that they're going to begin to actively shop Russell.
They got to. They can't lose KD and Russ and get nothing back for them. Not for both of them. So.
Right. Yeah, and it goes back to what you and I have said for the last couple of years. I don't know as much you as me. I'm not going to tell you the times that I'm wrong, obviously, but I will tell you times like this that you know, with the benefit of hindsight, it was right. They should have moved Durant. And I've been saying that for 2 years. They should have aggressively moved Durant. They never would have got a dollar for dollar, but they would have got a heck of a lot more than they've got today.
It's pretty much zero, I think, when you lose someone to free agency. I don't think the league gives you anything back for that. I'm pretty sure you can double check it for me.
They got a negative on Deion Waiters, which kind of is a positive overall. They got rid of Waiters, which might not have happened had they not gotten rid of Durant. But like I said, that kind of a net positive.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. We have a whole lot of changes in the Spurs roster here, and I just wanted to go down the list of the guys that the Spurs have lost from last season, and then kind of definitely on the front court side, since that's such a big deal. As you mentioned earlier in the podcast, as we're still going through the grieving process, I think I'm in denial right now. I think that's where I am. Eventually, slowly but surely, trudging my way towards acceptance. But I'm not in bargaining anymore. I'm in denial, or is denial before bargaining? Regardless, Tim Duncan is no longer with the team. David West, that you mentioned, is no longer with the team. Boris Diaw is gone. We've lost Boban. Marjanovic is in Detroit, and it looks as though we'll also lose Matt Bonner, although he wasn't really much a part of the team as far as like the number of games he played in. Was it even a dozen? Anyway, so that's who we lost. All these known quantities, all these names that we're familiar with from last season and last seasons and last decades from Tim. In their place, we've got Pau Gasol. We've got Marcus Dedmon. Man, Dwayne Dedmon.
Dwayne Dedmon, whatever.
Yep. Yep.
He's got to earn his name.
There you go. You know what? I'll see you. No. He's got his name. There's Dwayne Dedmon. There's David Lee. There's Davis Bertans. And there's LJC.
I like it. I mean, it's
Rufio
obviously
Jean Charles.
It's no Tim Duncan led lineup, but it's we got a good package. It a lot of people feel like we lost the offseason in a lot of ways, but
people griping about that. But we
came away okay.
Relatively speaking, you can't have an offseason like the 2015 offseason every year.
No.
But you have it once, and then people expect it. Like, well, where's the Marcus Aldridge signing from this offseason? You know, why didn't KD come here?
Yeah,
that's not going to happen every year, unfortunately. But Powell, we just had a nice fan post written by one of the community members on the site today, just looking at the numbers of Pau Gasol's rim protection, which is better than you think, considering Pau's reputation in Chicago, at least, for not being much of a defender. Marcus Dedmon, his numbers, not just on rebounding, but on rim protection, again, very, very good. We already talked about David Lee and how well he can rebound and score inside and just... That guy's got some offensive moves and definitely has a pick and roll game that would work with the reserves and especially with Manu. And there's Davis Bertans going to stretch the floor, definitely a dead eye shooter with some serious range, well outside NBA 3-point range. And then Livio Jean Charles, which I'm going to let you say nice things about him because you've got some.
I don't know if I can go real, real deep because the sample size is small on Livio, but
yes.
I am excited. He's got the physical attributes. He's one of these guys that, you know, you take his height and add 6 inches and that's his wingspan. He's one of these guys that's long and he's athletic. I think he's got the ability to learn to, and adapt to the NBA very, very well. I feel really good about him. I remember last summer, you know, Livio and Jonathan Simmons were the two guys that I was going, you know, I'm really excited about both these two. Let's see who really steps it up in the last few weeks of Summer League and who we're probably going to bring in. And, of course, it was Jonathan, and we were all real excited about Jonathan. And then we kind of forgot about Livio, but he was, you know, dare I say, a finalist for being brought into our system before Jonathan Simmons kind of eclipsed him. He was fantastic last summer. He was fantastic this summer. So I am really excited. I think he's going to be a great addition. I've got high hope, I should say.
I haven't seen what I wanted to see from him, and so I'm gonna reserve judgment until training camp for sure, and then
we've got time.
Yeah, there's plenty of time on him. He's. I don't know if he's as much of a project as Murray is. I'm going to want to see more from Livio sooner than Murray. If I see anything from Murray inside the first 3 years, I'm going to consider it a great pick. But I don't think anybody is seriously expecting anything from him his rookie year. And I'm going to want to see something from Livio definitely by the rodeo road trip.
You say 3 years on Murray, really?
Absolutely. If we see something from him before then, that's just my expectations of where I am, just knowing how much the Spurs are going to need to change in his game, and the fact that he's 19 and he's as raw as he is. And it's all around my issues, my questions that I have about his decision making. And he's just he had an historically poor total shoot. I don't want to get all into it. I feel as though he's a work in progress. He's a project. He's wet clay. And so, I mean, you give guys like that time. And if he returns on the investment before then, fantastic. But in my own mind, just like with LaMarcus Aldridge, I said I wasn't going to really judge him this past year until after the rodeo road trip. I'm giving DeJounte I'm giving him till his third year with the Spurs before I start going, okay, where are we at with him? Because that's pretty much when things started changing with Corey Joseph. When we were going, boy, why do we draft this guy? This guy's legit. He can play in the league. So I'm gonna hold off in the same way on Murray.
See, I think it was second with Corey. I see a lot of
similarities. He showed flashes.
And right? I'm not comparing these two, but there's a lot of similarity when we brought over a very green, very, very raw, very, very little tiny unknown Frenchman named Tony Parker. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of parallels in my mind.
Wow.
But we saw, you know, and Tony, to be fair, didn't really settle in his own, I guess, for 3 years. But we gave him a lot of run. We gave him a long leash. I mean, at least for Pop at that time period, we gave him a lot of space to develop. And as a result, it was within 2 to 3 years. I think if we give DeJounte that same freedom while, you know, trust but verify, if we kind of hold him at arm's length and develop him, but yet give him, I guess what I'm saying is I don't want to see him stashed on the bench or stashed in the D League for the next 2 years. I really think we've got potential in this kid if we hone that potential and if we focus on that.
Well, the only way that he would be still in Austin or still on the bench is if he still needed to develop further in order to be able to produce. And
right.
So that the timeline there, it has nothing to do with how hard a guy is working. It has everything to do with who's on the roster already, how the team is performing, the way that they're working together, and how much he's able to do. I mean, there's not going to be another, you know, Kawhi Leonard come along and just plug him in that first year and get some real good minutes from him off the bench to the point where people are wanting him to. Well, I mean, like, you know, got rid of, you know, Richard Jefferson and slotted him in the starter. But that's not going to happen all that often, and I don't expect Murray to surpass or replace Patty Mills as the backup point.
No, you're right. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
and there's only so many minutes to go around. So that is our main portion of the show now. We're going to need to transition into our superfluous poppycock section. And
I think you have some superfluous poppycock today.
I do need to talk about this. I actually teased this in the comments section last week while I was on vacation. I did a good amount of commenting, which I hadn't done a whole lot of up to this point. But just the fact that we had Popovich that said that had that nice little I don't care about whether or not the Spurs were ever called a super team. I just count the championships.
Which awesome. Was
a nice little line. It was fun. Yes. But that was actually in a story from the Mercury News. It's a San Francisco area newspaper. They were following all of the Warriors that are on the U.S. men's NBA Olympic team. And when they were doing all their work in Las Vegas, there was Draymond Green had been arrested for assault charges, and man, I gotta say, I could probably be criticized for going too hard on Green, but he's got so much talent. This is one of those people that is just a revolutionary player. The things that he's able to do, that all of the different positions he's able to guard, his basketball IQ, his physical tools, his ability to shoot the three, pound it inside, dribble in between, make plays, and essentially guide that team around on both offense and defense is just insane. As a fan of the NBA, I want him to get his head right and be able to have a phenomenal career. As a Spurs fan, I hope that he never thinks about ever, pursuing counseling or something like that to be able to get his act together, because he can make a very good case that he cost the Warriors a back-to-back championships. And now with this altercation that he had in Michigan and being arrested, I was just shaking my head over the whole thing. And Klay Thompson had this really interesting quote. And again, this is last week, in the same story as Pop's lovely championship counting quote. But Klay Thompson said, "I'm not worried about it because every time Draymond is in a situation, he learns from it."
Okay.
And I thought, okay, so somewhere around 2020 or 2025, he'll be in enough situations to learn all the stuff that you expect a guy his age to know now.
Right.
I mean, it's like how many? I was like, oh, okay, well, all right. So I was in that situation where I clocked that guy in the bar. I guess I won't do that anymore. All right. Maybe now when I rent a car, I'll go ahead and get the insurance instead of going, you know what? Who does that? Or, maybe drying my hair in the bath is not a good idea. You know what? You screw up on that one time and you never do it again. I mean, I know I'm being facetious. I know that this is over the top. I know this is probably, I can't even judge whether I'm being fair with the guy anymore because I just see him as such an amazing talent. And because just for the sake of the NBA, it would be phenomenal to see him just play well and be an all around. Just be a trustworthy guy all around. But even last year, he's getting in yelling matches with his coach, and at the end of it, going, "You know what? That's on me. I shouldn't have done that." No, and that's something you learn when you're like well before you're in the NBA. Yeah. And so it's like, I'm glad that he's apparently he's a man of his word. Klay Thompson says he's a man of his word. So whenever he speaks, we believe him. There's something good from that to have somebody who's played with you as long as Klay Thompson has played with Draymond Green to be able to stand up and have your back like that. That's fantastic. That means that there's something there, at least on Thompson's side, if not Green's, for deserving it. I can't say either way. I'll just assume that he deserves it, right? He's got a teammate that's saying that. But the fact is that he shouldn't even be getting here. So that's my superfluous poppycock from this week. if he's in a situation and he learns from it, you know what? The sign of a true wise individual is someone who can learn from someone else's mistakes. So Draymond, man, if you can learn from other people's mistakes that they've already made them, then that would be fantastic for you and your team. If you can't, then it's just going to make it easier for the Spurs, and I guess I'll benefit either way.
Yeah, I'm all for him remaining a loose cannon. I'm a Spurs fan through and through. I know where you're going.
You can't say that like I'm not.
No, I'm not saying you're not a Spurs fan, but you're more of a pragmatist in you want to believe the best in people. I could do without all people except for the Spurs. And anyone who stands in the way of the Spurs, I just really want their demise. I mean, if they're going down a wrong road or a destructive road, but that happens to benefit the Spurs, sadly, I urge them down that road. So,
man, I love this quote. I'm keeping it. I could do without all people. And the way that you paused after that, I could probably edit the podcast to the point where it doesn't sound like you said anything afterwards.
Oh, I will deliver that on cue if you'd like me to, because that's generally pretty accurate. I can deal without most all people.
Love it.
Except Tim Duncan.
July 2016. Okay.
I'm going to have a hard time dealing without Tim Duncan. However, short of Tim Duncan, I can deal without most everyone else.
That's fantastic. Well, Pounders, that is all we've got for you this episode. We'll see you next time. Until then, keep safe and let it fly.